Hi everyone. I'm Kate and I'm a compulsive eater and glad to be here and also frightened. Thank you, Judy, for asking me to share. It's something I don't do often, and the first few times I did it, I read from a piece of paper. And now on the advice of some fellows in these rooms, I'm just going to speak from the heart and see what comes up and trust my higher power. I'm a pretty strong introvert, and the idea of talking for 20 minutes feels like a decade to me, so I will do my best to share for 20 minutes. I'm going to start with some numbers and kind of an overview of my experience before I talk about my experience, strength, and hope. And I first came into OA in my 20s. I am now 68. And when I first developed an eating disorder in my 20s, which was bulimia, I was addicted to sugar and syrup of Ipecac. And so that was my first experience of having an eating disorder. That went on for years. And at some point, I stopped purging and I developed a massive weight gain. And I think it was at that time that I first started coming to OA. It's all kind of fuzzy. But so I entered OA in my 20s in the 1980s. Lots of years struggling, lots of years in relapse, lots of years in pain, not feeling like I could make it for one reason or another. In November of 2022, I asked somebody to be my sponsor. And I have been abstinent since that day. So I had a 2-year anniversary in November. Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed. I'm amazed I'm here. So that's the when I first came to OA, my weight, I had a normal weight because I was purging. When I stopped purging, my top weight was about 200 pounds. I stopped weighing myself, and now I probably weigh 140, but I have not weighed myself in half a year, so I have no idea what to weigh. And at one time, all those numbers were extremely important to me: the number on the scale, the number, my clothes size, the number of calories I was ingesting, the number of calories I was burning with exercise. And today, this program has enabled me to be free of all of the numbers, as well as the insanity of binge eating. So I will start. Unlike a lot of people I hear here, I was not a compulsive eater in my younger years. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I was a pretty normal kid. I thought I was a normal eater. I never thought about what I ate. Around the age of 14, all of that fell apart, and a number of things happened at that time. My father, who had been ill for years, killed himself. And I made a number of decisions around that time. I wasn't aware of making these decisions, but at that time, I made a decision to never be angry, because the last year of his life, he was furious. And I don't, you know, when I think back, of course, he's furious. A 39-year-old man with three children is dying, and there's, yeah. So anyway, he was furious, I was furious, and we fought and we argued. And when he took his life, I thought I was responsible, and I thought I am never going to be angry again. And I got good at that, and my food addiction was a way stuffing anger. So that happened. My mother was institutionalized for psychosis. At that time, she was homicidal and suicidal. I made a decision that I shouldn't be here based on my relationship with her at that time. So I decided that I shouldn't be alive. And again, that's directly related to being an addict. You know, it's a slow death, slow death. The third thing is that happened was I was raped. I made a decision I was not safe in the world, and I would not trust anybody, and I was a bad person. So my addictive brain kicked in then, because I didn't know what to do with the problem of pain and feelings. And at the time, I turned to drugs, alcohol, and bad relationships, which went on for like a decade. And I'm going to fast forward to my 20s when I was experiencing another time in my life that was particularly painful. And that's when my eating disorder started. I started eating large quantities of sugar. I started simultaneously an addiction to syrup of ipecac. And either I was binging or I was throwing up. And that went on for a couple years. And it was probably the worst part of my life. I'm going to fast forward again. At some point, I stopped purging, and that's when the massive weight gain started. So I was eating large volumes of food. I had no idea that I was addicted to sugar. I thought there was something inherently flawed within my character. And I started out I wanted to stop and I couldn't. So eventually, in OA, I realized that my problem was powerlessness. I did not have any power once I picked up the first compulsive bite, and that was sugar for me. But it took me down the road of years of therapy, decades of therapy. It took me to At one point in my life, thinking that if I would rather be a drunk than a food addict. And so I picked up alcohol, and soon after I was sitting in medical detoxes in white pajamas with all these other people who I thought were, you know, what is a good person like me doing in a place like this? Crossed my mind frequently, but there I was. I'm an addict. So I ended up going through alcohol treatment. I ended up going through eating disorder treatment. I dealt with a number of mental health issues, which I still have to address today. But I'm going to fast forward, because I think if I don't think anybody comes to these rooms if they eat normally. I think if I think only people that eat like I did show up in these rooms. And it's all about, for me, loss of control, loss of power. And so, anyway, there's a lot of stories I could tell about that. But I'm going to fast forward to November 2022. I was in an OA meeting, and all these years I was attending meetings and in relapse, in and out of relapse. So I was in yet another relapse. It was around Halloween, and I was into all the foodstuffs around Halloween that occurs. I remember that I was terrified. I was terrified I was going to take my own life because the self-torment, the self-hatred was unbearable. So I constantly was thinking of suicide. So as a way out. So I was on a meeting, and a woman talked about her recovery, and she put out there that she would sponsor. And I thought, I everything she said, some kind of a criteria for sponsoring didn't fit with me. And at the same time, I had this inner voice, this nudge that said, ask her anyway, on all apparent outer realities, this is not going to work, but ask. And I did. And she said yes. And that changed everything. That was my first experience of a higher power. And since then, I've come to rely on that power. I call it my gut feeling, my inner wisdom, the still small voice within. I trust that voice today. And she took me through the steps. I had been through the steps before many times in the program, and this was different. It was different in that in steps 4 and 5, I had an experience of being unconditionally accepted and loved. And today I call that mercy. I felt like for the first time I experienced mercy. Like I thought I was such a bad person. I was convinced I was a bad person. And there was a certain sense of unburdening this horrific feeling of badness and unworthiness and fear in my fourth and fifth step with her. I did amends. I made my list. I had a tough time with step 8. Just making the list was terrifying. And I probably leaned on my sponsor more in step 8 than any other step because, in my mind created very scary things. If I went to people and I said, "Hey, I did this, and I'm sorry," and the hardest amends were to my hus ex-husband and my son. So anyway, I hung out in step 8 for a long time. I wasn't willing right away, But in step nine, I started making the easier amends, and then I got to the ones for me that's felt a little harder. All of the things I was terrified of never happened. In fact, most of the things I am terrified of do not happen. Most of the things I'm terrified of are things that happened in my past that I think are going to happen again, but I don't know that until I do something different or take a little step out of my comfort zone. And so that's what step eight and nine were for me, taking steps out of my comfort zone, being honest and vulnerable, and cleaning up my side of the street. Today, my relationship with my son is amazing. It's amazing. I never thought it would be possible. So, step 10, 11, and 12 is kind of where I hang out now. Three minutes. Okay. I think what I'm going to do is just talk a little bit about present time, and I'll talk a bit about 10, 11, and 12 and that with my last few minutes. So currently I'm in North Africa. I left the United States a year and a half ago. I've been traveling for a year and a half with my husband, and my program has changed a lot. But one thing, the one thing that I found is that before I left the United States, with the help of another fellow who helped me find a power greater than myself that could keep me abstinent no matter where I was in the world, meant that my higher power had to be portable. And that's really something that is, I don't know, it's everything. It's like my higher power has been with me everywhere I've been. I've been on three continents, over a dozen countries. I've been in different amazing experiences and scary, and through it all, I am abstinent. But it's that sense that my higher power is with me. And I have sponsees, I sponsor, I go to meetings, I
Gentle
write in,
reminder.
thank you. I write inventory and I share it. I continue to go against the messages embedded in my brain that say I shouldn't trust anybody, I shouldn't talk to anybody, and I shouldn't have feelings. So I'm learning to do all those things. And prayer and meditation for me is mostly listening. I don't ask for things. I don't ask for, I listen. I get quiet and I listen. I listen to myself. I am in other programs that have helped me deal with trauma, codependency, and being an adult child. And I think all of those programs help me on this path. I couldn't do it. I really believe I needed these other things to get better. Yeah, I do. I need them. I need these other stories of recovery and hope. And so I've had to go to other rooms to hear other stories. And that's made a big difference. So I have 25 seconds. I'm surprised I made it this far. I just wish all of you a wonderful new year, and to just come back. Don't give up on yourself. Come back. Take steps forward, a little bit out of your comfort zone, and see, thank you, that there is hope, there's recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thank